Pre-Post Film Review. I'm Matt Stevenson.
And I'm John Asquith. So the way we do things here at the Pre-Post Film Review is we talk about a movie over two different time periods. The first chunk that you're going to hear is us talking about a trailer for a film. And we sort of analyze the trailer and talk about our expectations, maybe make a few predictions about the movie. And then we come back to record a review of the film after we've seen the movie itself. And because we couldn't really do that unless we'd seen the movie. So, you know, that makes sense. But we come back, we review the film, and then we jump straight into spoilers with all of that stuff. So, you know, you've been warned, my little friend who's listening. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the new Kong movie, King Kong movie, Kong Skull Island. So everybody jump in their helicopters and see what the island has in store for us.
These are photos of an island in the South Pacific.
The place where myth and science meet. I see the
moon horizon. We use explosives to shake the earth, helping us to map the surface of the island.
You're dropping bombs.
Scientific instruments. I see
trouble on the way. Is that a monkey?
Alrighty, we've just watched the first full-length trailer, I believe, for Skull Island, King Kong. I said that like Yoda.
I don't think that's what it's called. Is it? It's Kong, Skull
Yeah,
Island.
It's called Kong, Skull Island. I'm turning into like an old person that gets the names of things wrong and doesn't quite understand.
Mixed up, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, this is the new King Kong film and sort of the new entry in what I believe, or am I going to get this right, Matt? Is it Universal or whoever is doing this?
I don't think it's Universal. Universal are the monster, like Dracula.
Oh, they're the monsters. Mummy. This is Legendary?
Maybe? Yes. Yep. I think
yes.
Right.
So they want to set up a universe with Godzilla and King Kong, sort of like a giant monster universe. This apparently will exist in the same world as the Godzilla movie from Gareth Edwards.
Yes, correct.
That was the first episode we reviewed of the
It was.
Review. And we were very disappointed in it.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, it could be a similar film in many ways. It's a sort of modern take, although I think set in the 70s, of, you know, a classic sort of monster movie story. So after that big convoluted intro, what are your thoughts, Matt, after seeing this trailer?
I think this is going to be exactly like Godzilla. I think the trailer looks great, but I think the film's going to be shit. And maybe that's just me being cynical, but I think I think the trailer looks awesome. I think visually it looks amazing, which we said the exact same thing about Godzilla. I don't know, the action looks great, the effects look amazing, the cast's really good, surprisingly good actually. I like that it is like a period film. It's obviously heavily influenced by Apocalypse Now, which is cool, all the choppers and the sort of like sunset vistas over tropical islands and things. But I am just very worried that it is going to be style over substance. And I'm worried that they're so obsessed with setting up this giant monster verse that all they care about is King Kong eventually punching Godzilla in the face. Like there's part of me that feels a bit sad that it seems like people are forgetting that King Kong was this romantic Hollywood film about love. You know what I mean? Like, that's not this film. This is like a big action, explodey, shooty fest. So maybe that's also a bit of my bias coming through, because I'm like a big fan of the original King Kong. I actually really love Peter Jackson's King Kong as well. And I had a lot of respect for that and its sort of classical Hollywood filmmaking style, which this completely does not have. But I don't know, maybe if I can sort of push that to one side and just have a fun, rollicking monster movie time, this will be okay. But I don't know, I think I've kind of been burnt once with Godzilla, and I'm expecting to be burnt again with this one. So I don't have high hopes, even though I think visually it looks stunning. I think that'll probably be my biggest takeaway from the film when I actually see it. I think it's going to, you know, look utterly amazing. What about you? Mm. Are you more optimistic than me, John?
Yeah, I think I am. Maybe this will be the episode where we're on different wavelengths for once. I think I'm more optimistic. I can totally see where you're coming from, and there's a very good chance that you're correct. But I'm pretty excited to see this in the way that you were just explaining, as like a fun monster movie and a B movie that's a little bit silly and has like a bunch of just very cool designed monsters and great effects. I'm totally down for that, as long as it's not really stupid. I mean, like, to the point where it's boringly stupid, which Godzilla was. I mean, it wasn't stupid. It was just boring and bland, and the characters had, you know, no charm to them at all. And I don't know. I feel like there's enough in this trailer to suggest that some of those characters are going to be interesting, you know, in a superficial kind of entertaining way. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm pretty excited for this. And just to repeat what you said about the visuals, I mean, it looks just amazing. There's some shots in here of like Kong, you know, rising up from the flames, and you know, these very sort of weird looking monsters that they encounter. And I just love that sort of stuff, you know, just cool designs. But they've let like concept artists just go nuts, and they've actually been able to put those designs in the movie rather than making them, you know, bland or whatever. So yeah, I'm sort of excited for it on that sort of just like entertaining, you know. I normally don't get popcorn when I go to the movies, but I'm going to for this one. Stock, you know, up for this just one, like stuff my
upgrade
face
to the jumbo size. Yeah.
Yep. Jumbo size, gets like a big sugar drink or something, and just, you know, make myself sick.
No, I think that's the right way to approach this. And there is one tiny shot in the trailer of, Brie Larson and what's the main guy's name that
is
I'm
it,
blanking on?
Tom Hiddleston.
So there's one shot of Brie Larson and Tom Hiddleston sort of standing on like a ledge, and Kong seems to be like, his face is right up close, and I think he or her or one of them sort of puts their hand out to like stroke his face. And that one shot, I guess, gives me a bit of a hope that it may be keeping some of that, not necessarily romantic vibe, but there'll be a heart to it, which I don't think any of the rest of the trailer suggests. So I think this might boil down to something similar to The Lost World, the Jurassic Park film, in the sense that it'll be like a conservation-y thing, and there's this like US military that's going in and bombing this island, and Kong is kind of fighting back against the military establishment, and these two are kind of the scientist onlookers that end up sort of teaming up with Kong because he's the goodie of the film.
Yes. That's a good prediction. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, potentially where it could go, which I would be more open to, because at least there's some sort of heart at the core of it, instead of just people fighting a giant ape and fighting slimy skull monsters or whatever they call them.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm slightly hopeful that that's where it goes, but I'm not. I am expecting to be disappointed, which is probably a good way to go in, you know. It's better than having astronomical expectations. It'll be easy for me to be impressed, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, the review will be, I'll be like, it's shit. And you'll be like, actually, it's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
Magnificent.
You knew that thing was out here?
I'm sorry for your men, Colonel. But if you want to make their sacrifice worthwhile, get us home.
with proof. Monsters exist.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Your friend there can put that down. What the hell is this place?
That's Kong. He's king around here. Kong's pretty good king. Keeps to himself mostly. Well, you don't go into someone's house and start dropping bombs unless you're picking a fight.
Okay, so we've both now seen Kong Skull Island, John. You were reasonably excited, pretty positive. I'm curious to hear what you thought. Did you get your giant popcorn and giant Coke and nestle in for some action-y fun?
Right.
tell me what you thought.
Well, no, I didn't. I forgot that I said I would do that. So, sorry,
lying
everyone.
Straight off the bat.
I didn't do that. Yep, didn't do it. But the cinema I went to had just installed these like big couch, like reclining seats.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was interesting. Although it was also kind of weird and a bit gross when you walk into the cinema and everyone's just like sitting back with their legs up and like no shoes on. And it's just like, really?
It's getting a bit too comfortable.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, I don't know. It's fine, but whatever. I just don't like seeing like bare feet in public. That's the thing, man. Anyway, I sat down for this movie in my couch.
Yeah, take us through it step by step.
Yeah, yeah. I turned my phone off. I watched like half an hour of ads and trailers before the film, which, you know, put me in a bit of a bad mood.
Mm.
So then I was ready to be cheered up by a fun monster movie with some cool design and cool effects. but I have to say that I was thoroughly, thoroughly disappointed by this movie. And in fact, I fucking hate it. and I know look, there's some movies out there where you're just meant to like switch your brain off. People say switch your brain off and, you know, have a good time. It's a fun romp and all this stuff. And while the visual effects are awesome in this movie and there's some, you know, cool monster action, everything around that just pissed me off so much from the start to the very end. I was just like writhing around in my seat, like in anger.
Seat to writhe around in.
Yeah, well, it was a comfortable writhe. You're right, but still, like, yeah, I had my arms crossed, you know, the whole time, just like, kind of making noises. I didn't do them really loudly because I didn't want to disturb anyone. But I was just like, just a quiet little like, that sort of thing. Because this movie sucks, man. I really, really don't like this film. I was thinking when I was watching it that this is my big takeaway from the movie. My big thought about the movie is that it should have been called hashtag Kong, right?
Right,
because
why
this movie
is
like, it's a fucking Instagram movie. This it is all pretty filters and you know, occasional nice composition.
See what you mean.
For sure. But there is nothing to it. There's no substance. There's no even, I'm just going to say no effort, even though the costume design and the visual effects and even some of the sets are well done. As a whole, the from the director's point of view, there is no fucking consistency or effort in this movie. There's like a cool CG moment and then a really, really dumb, cheesy character moment, which isn't cheesy in a good way or a fun way. It's just aggravating. I think there's some really cool shots in this movie that stand alone, look great, and in the trailer looked really good. But then you'll have like this nice kind of wide shot of Kong and then like a stupid Instagram-y, you know, 16mm shot of a helicopter. And then, you know, a handheld shot from the ground that's like really CG. And they're just all so different. It's like montage filmmaking, and in a bad way. I just feel like there's no discipline. There's no, it's like an idea of a Vietnam movie, an idea of the 70s. Again, Instagram is like an idea of something. It's not real photography. It's not a real moment. And, you know, Instagram's fine. I don't have a problem with Instagram. But that's just like the example I can quickly get to, where it's like this modern, like, hey, look at this. Look, this is Apocalypse Now. Isn't it cool? Like, look at these guys. Yeah, they're flying. Oh, there's a big monster. And I don't know. It just, you know, I'm being too harsh probably because it's not trying to be high art or anything, but it just really, really rubbed me the wrong way. I could keep going on, but I'll let you have your say, mate. Oh, the other thing is, there is way, way too much like 70s music in this movie that is overlaid of like fucking soldiers like smiling at each other or giving each other the bird or taking a shit in the jungle or whatever the hell they're doing. The music is like, it's good music, but it's used very, very poorly in this film. The one other positive thing I'll say before I hand it over to you and my rant is John C. Reilly is really, really good in this. He's the only good presence in it, except maybe Kong in a couple of scenes. Anyway, are you on the same page as me, Matt? Or did my high expectations, hurt me more than perhaps your low expectations?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because I went in with pretty low expectations. I mean, I guess the visuals were the one thing that I was kind of looking forward to. And I think I did say that it potentially could have had some heart to it, given the shots of Brie Larson and Tom Hiddleston sort of interacting with Kong. But this really exceeded my expectations in terms of shitness. And I completely 100% agree with everything you just said. Even to the extent that I was sitting there as well, like arms crossed, wanting to like exclaim just like fuck off like half the time, because I was getting so infuriated with the bullshit that was on screen in front of me. And it's funny you mentioned like it reminded you of something like Instagram, because I think another example of the way it's like that, and one thing that really pissed me off was the complete and utter disrespect for any kind of sort of spatial consistency or like it was literally like a shot of a pretty environment, and then the next shot they'd be in another pretty environment that was like in no way related to where they were. There was no sense that they were moving through any space. It was like, check out this place, check it, like when like literally like you're scrolling through an Instagram feed of someone's like travel photography. Like it was moronic.
Exactly.
But no, I completely agree, and I disliked it from the very beginning because of the cheesiness, and it just lost me right from the start with the sort of fight between those two soldiers, World War II soldiers, and it was just...
I knew we were in trouble straight away.
It was really poorly handled, really ham-fisted and dumb. So I felt the same, but it really started to genuinely piss me off when it sort of got into the military stuff, and it was so overtly referencing Apocalypse Now, and it's just, it felt so disrespectful and so like it just did not understand what that film was and what it represents, and it made me angry that people are going to watch this and either not know Apocalypse Now and think that it's being really cool, or think that it's like a representation of, or you know, just in any way linking this fucking turd to that it was just like the epitome of what modern filmmaking has become, and this stupid like nostalgia shit where they just like hook themselves onto something classic and well-known and think they can ride that into, like, looking cool and hipster, or I don't know. It pissed me off so much, all that Vietnam War stuff. But yeah, you're 100% right. There's just utter nonsensicalness to everything. Like, you can pick apart every... Nothing makes sense. Like, even the... I don't know. We could get into... I could nitpick, like, just about every scene. Honestly, the most fun I had with this film was after the film was fucking over and I was walking home with my girlfriend and we were just tearing it apart and just like laughing at how utterly ridiculous and stupid everything was in it. Like, we both just hated it. I haven't hated a film this much since like Independence Day sequel that we got last year or whenever, when I almost walked out of the cinema. And I sort of felt the same way with it. Although, again, I do agree that John C. Reilly is the best thing in it. And he did give me a few genuine laughs.
Yeah,
it was same. The only person I mildly cared about, but even that's stretching it. Like, I wouldn't say I cared about his character at all, but yeah. It was just good having him on screen because he brought some levity.
Well, totally. And then they double down on that at the end credits, which is the most bizarre, I guess, trying to make be emotional. It was played very straight.
Yeah,
of him returning home to see his son and wife.
I was so just like, weird.
What the fuck is this? That was so weird.
I totally agree. I think it felt very much felt to me like they were playing it straight. Like, did not feel like it was winking at us and we were meant to laugh at it. It was meant to be this like cathartic emotional moment that he got home and, you know, after this big adventure with these monsters or whatever. Like,
yeah. And the way it was filmed was very odd too. Like it was a home video, but then it was shot like a movie. And I, so I was thinking, like, who's filming this? Is there someone there? Or I didn't understand even that level of it.
But, I mean,
and then, like, he's on the couch having his, like, sandwich and beer or whatever, which he always wanted.
Yeah.
Hot dog and beer. And it's like, did your wife make that for you? Are you just there? Like, she did wait for you, I guess.
Yeah, and now she's just going to make you food. How long's it been? Like, 30 years or whatever since he fucking crashed landed there. And then he just waltzes in and starts eating their food and drinking the beer out of the fridge.
Yeah, it felt like you're an intruder in this house. What are you doing? Maybe they were calling the cops at that moment.
Yeah, they're fled, exactly. But I think that's like another example of what you were saying, or in terms of it sort of like using those cheap nostalgia tricks to try and get emotion.
Yeah.
And, you know, it uses those old like 16mm filters and like tries to make it look like an old home movie.
I hated all of the film stuff in this.
Yeah.
With like Brie Larson taking all her photos. And then occasionally it would just like cut to some, just the cinematography looks like it's shot on like old film or something. Just because why not? You know, that's cool. You know, it's like it wants the aesthetic when it wants it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually give a shit, you know. Ugh.
And you're also right about the like the montages too, the musical montages. Like, I'm all for a good like Creedence Clearwater. Yeah. Like song playing over some great imagery, but like, man, it must have happened like 10 times. At least it felt like it.
Seriously. Yeah.
I too was getting all very angry at the film. Like, when another one would pop up, I'd be like, get out. I've had enough.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's like it saw that in like one war film and then was like, oh, we need to make this like a Vietnam War film. So let's put 15 of them in there. Like, every time Brie Larson's character's on screen, she has to be taking photos and.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there's some musical montage over the top. Ridiculous.
Mm.
I don't know what else to say. I fucking hated this film, Sean. I really did.
Yeah, I hated it too. It's a giant piece of shit. And I think, you know, I've said a couple of times, like, it's cheesy, but not in a good way. And it's dumb, but not in a fun way or whatever. Mm. And that comes across very, very strongly on a script level where the characters talk to each other like...
It's embarrassing.
You know, I was thinking when I was watching this, I was like, did like a smart like chatbot or something write this movie? Because it feels so artificial the way the characters talk to each other and just kind of say their motives and say their backstories to each other.
Horrendous.
Like, there's no human interaction really at all in the whole film.
It makes it like a bad actor out of Brie Larson. Like, she's great, and it makes
it does. Her line and Tom Hiddleston too
as well. They were both terrible. Like, there's that scene where they go down, they meet in the like the hull, like inside the cargo bay of the ship or something. That's, they're looking at the
exactly the one I was thinking of,
and it's just like the clunkiest, dumbest, like, what are they? They just tell each other their jobs or whatever. And they're like, that's
pretty much it. That's it. And he's like, you don't look like a photographer. And she's like, anti-war photographer. You know, like, oh, okay. Do they just say shit like that all the time?
It's so dumb and lazy. Like, what is he even meant to be? He's like some Bear Grylls rescue expert, but they just find him in like a bar, and then he just like walks around with the soldiers for the whole film. Like, what the fuck? He doesn't do anything. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Why is he there?
Oh. And another thing, like, how many characters do they need to introduce? Like, you spend the first 10 minutes of the film getting introduced to like, literally, probably, like, 15 people. I'm not being silly.
Mm.
Like, that's less than a minute screen time per person. And it's just, like, pummeling you with this dumb shit. Like, what was the...
Yeah.
There's, like, it's one of the geologists or something, that the Asian woman, I forget her name. But, like...
Yeah.
What was her point? Like, she was in the film, I think she had one line, maybe two.
Yeah. Yeah, she's basically not in it. I assume like the Chinese market, you know, there's probably an edit where she has like five more lines or something like that.
It's just, it's so cynical and lazy and bullshit.
Yeah, you know? Totally. Yep, and I agree about, you know, you said that it makes good actors seem bad. Another example of that is John Goodman, who's just like, Why is he even in this? You know, he looks bored. He looks like he doesn't want to be there on set. And I felt that way about Brie Larson and Tom Hiddleston as well. Like, you know, they just look bored and not interested the whole time.
Yeah.
Like Tom, they'll run around for ages through something really scary and then stop. And they're not sweaty and they're not panting and puffing and looking worried. They're just like, oh, okay, I guess we'll
go to this talking now. To each other.
Yeah. We've got to save Kong. Why? Oh, we just do.
The other thing. Like, why?
Now you love Kong because you saw him, saw him up close. Anyway, that's, you know, I'm just jumping around. So
no, but you're right. And like the little moment of hope that I had when you sort of see them have that moment with Kong just like makes no sense. Like it's so shoehorned into the film to try and suddenly make Kong the hero and make him the good guy. Like it's just... So everything about this is so lazy. Like, even the action scenes don't make sense. Just like the geography or literal what is happening in the action scene doesn't make sense. Like when they're attacked by there was a specific moment in the sort of graveyard and Brie Larson's running from one of those creatures. For some reason, she's suddenly away from the rest of them running away, and you've just seen the creature like use its enormous tongue to like. Grab someone and kill them. Then she hides under a rib cage and its face is like a meter away, but it decides that it doesn't want to use its tongue anymore because it's just bored of that, apparently. But then what's the way that the soldiers try to like rescue her? They get a flamethrower and just like torch the whole, like she's underneath it, but there's just, there's no spatial consistency of where anything is. They just thought like, oh, flamethrower would be cool here. Whatever. It looks cool. We'll just pretend Brie Larson's not there for this shot. And then like, it just, infuriated me. Everything about this. I keep saying it's just lazy. Like it's really, really lazy.
It is
superficial filmmaking.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no consistency. There's no thought. Every shot exists on its own in its own cool little Instagram world.
Totally.
With no relation to what was before or after.
Well, like when Tom Hiddleston, like all the gas goes off.
That was painful. Like, I was embarrassed by that.
He grabs the gas mask. I don't even know what he's doing. Like, what he goes to because he wants to pick up a samurai sword or something. And he like slow motion chops all the bats through the green smoke.
That was awful.
And just takes the gas mask off while he's still the gas.
Yeah, exactly. he's just like had enough. Takes it off.
His cool Instagram moment. He got the shot. And
Yeah, exactly. And that was like such a poor man's, you know, Zack Snyder 300.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of side-on shot is almost a cliche now for one thing. And secondly, it wasn't even done well. Like it was, I cringed at that. I just felt like embarrassed for Tom Hiddleston. He looks stupid.
it was really embarrassing. Though I'm curious, one thing you were most positive about is the opportunity to just see some cool monster design or cool creature moments. Did you think it at least delivered that at all?
I think in isolation, you know, just looking at those shots and those designs, there was some cool stuff in there. And it certainly gives you a good amount of screen time in terms of, you know, looking at the creatures and things like that. You know, they're not sort of hidden for most of the movie. Like, you get to see them quite a bit. But, you know, it wasn't enough to, in any way, not even close to swinging my opinion towards a positive. And because everything around the creatures is so bad, I was just annoyed even at when they were on screen, or, you know, there's a big Kong battle at the end. And it's cool, but I just wanted the movie to be over at that point, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, it delivers on, you know, a big set piece, and, you know, there's some cool stuff where he like rips the guts out of the monster and all that sort of thing. And actually there's a scene where, Kong's like taking a bath basically, and this squid thing attacks him, and then he just like rips the tentacles off and eats them. I actually kind of like that. That was a moment where the movie slowed down for like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And just the sort of sheer concept of that moment I quite liked. But yeah, wasn't enough, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, yeah, exactly right. In isolation, some of the designs are cool. And I did, at least in the beginning, like the giant spider scene where you just sort of, suddenly that guy gets fucking impaled. And just the idea of, like, all the bamboo and not knowing sort of what's a leg and what's a bamboo stalk was kind of cool and actually a little bit scary. But, I mean, it's... That lasted like 5 seconds, then it was back to the same dumb, nonsensical action as they were like trying to chop the legs off and stuff. And I kind of would agree to an extent about the squid thing, but that was one of the few moments that I really noticed the lack of filmmaking talent in the Toby Kebbell, is that his name? The sort of guy that gets separated, who's again another great actor. And when I didn't really realize he was in it, when I saw him at the very beginning, I was kind of like hoping that he could turn it around. But he's like taking a drink and there's the squid, you sort of see something in the background. Just like a perfect case study of how not to create tension. Like, he just doesn't know how to create tension. Like, that could have been a really cool, creepy, scary moment. But the way it's shot and edited, it's just like nothing. Like, you see something in the water, then he stands there and Kong walks in and it's just back to being boring again, you know? Like,
yeah, very true.
He just really doesn't... I feel like he doesn't... I haven't seen his other stuff, so maybe it was just like a studio pressure thing, or maybe this is a weird edit and there's a better, like, 3-hour long cut out there where it actually makes sense, but he really does not know how to construct a film, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm super curious to see his other work. You know, I don't think I'm going to rush out to see it, you know, but I wonder like if it's all like this, if it's all kind of montage-y filmmaking, you know.
The only other thing that I will bring up is that it makes Godzilla look like a fucking masterpiece, and it made me appreciate that film so much more. And I mean, they had paper-thin characters, but at least the filmmaking was solid and
very solid.
It was visually stunning in a sophisticated, proper filmmaking way, not a cheap, shallow Instagram way like this is.
Absolutely.
And in a way, I agree. Made me want to revisit Godzilla to compare it to this.
I had the exact same thought when I was watching it. I was like, oh, how I miss those days where we were just complaining about, you know, some relatively bad characters. But it did make me want to watch Godzilla as well. You know, as these films are connected, apparently, exist in the same universe. I'm keen to go back and see that. It also made me think of... And you brought this up in the trailer, The Lost World.
Right.
And which is a similar, more toned down version, really, of, you know, people going to an island and finding creatures there and havoc ensuing. And there's a team of scientists and a team of sort of more military based dudes. And yeah, I actually haven't watched The Lost World in years and years, I think. And I'm quite keen to revisit it now because I'm remembering a lot about it as I think about Kong and the differences between them.
Mm.
And you know, it's unfair to compare this to a Spielberg movie, even a lesser Spielberg movie, many would say. But, you know, that has such good tension and filmmaking, obviously. And characters and, you know, it's possible to do a movie like this intelligently and still have a heap of fun with it rather than switch your brain off and look at some CG things punch each other or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think we've probably talked about this a lot on the podcast, but I like firmly believe, I hate the idea that you have to turn your brain off to enjoy a film. That just should not be the standard that we hold cinema to, you know what I mean? Because you can do both. Even just this other thing this made me fucking appreciate was Peter Jackson's King Kong, which I think is very unfairly remembered, because I loved that film. And yeah, it's overlong, but man, at least that understands character and tension. And once you get to that island, like the T-Rex battles and things, and just it's incredible, some of the action set pieces in that film.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
I miss that movie. I miss the Kong from that movie. I miss... Yeah.
What did you think of Kong in this movie, by the way? Like, his kind of like manly design. Like, he almost looks human in the way he sort of...
Yeah. Stands. You know, he's pretty good. I think the design is interesting that he's so massive. It's like the biggest Kong ever or something like that. But again, like, there's just not really enough done with it. You know, it's cool to see him jump around and punch things or whatever, but doesn't add enough to the mythos or to the idea. It, you know, kind of actively ruins Kong a bit. So yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't.
Yeah,
it's a cool design, cool concept, but
yeah, when he's standing like it's shimmering against the setting sun, it's a good screen grab, but it's not
exactly
a good character or a good filmmaking. Like, also having that big just doesn't make any sense. Like, they're all flying in on those helicopters, and then he throws a tree through one of the windscreens or whatever. Like, how the first battle starts. Like, how the fuck did they not see him? Like, honestly, you know, they're in helicopters flying. That makes no sense.
Yeah. He was hiding behind a mountain and he just, like, flicked the palm tree towards them.
Oh, so dumb. So, yeah, I guess overall, obviously, both very, very disappointed. But I think this also doesn't bode well for their interconnected monster universe. The hollow world. What is this bloody dumb theory about, like, the hollow earth and the monsters that live?
Yeah. You know, and this is just quickly on that. This movie is coming out at a bad time, right? Because it's like this guy has this fucking conspiracy theory about, everyone else is wrong except for me, and there's like there's creatures living under the earth, and I was proven right. The crazy guy with the crazy conspiracy was proven right, and I just think we're not living in a good time for like people with dumb crazy ideas.
It's very true.
To be proven right. And that shouldn't bother me, but on a personal level I was like, no. The scientists should be the fucking winners in this movie.
Yeah,
they're not, you know, they call themselves scientists, I guess, but yeah, anyway, it gives them an excuse to have like other dumb creatures excuse. Come out and Kong to fight Godzilla. The next movie, I guess.
Yeah, not looking forward
to it. Which will be shit.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry, I interrupted your wrap up then.
No, I think that you should just wrap it up there. I think that's good. That's a good wrap up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Pre-Post Film Review. We'd love to hear what you guys thought of Kong Skull Island. Did you hate it as much as me and Matt? Did you switch your brain off and love it? Or did you, you know, legitimately think that it had some, you know, good filmmaking and was a fun time at the cinema? We'd be very keen to hear. And, you know, we always reply to our emails, but to email us, I need to tell you the address. So that's prepostfilmreview@gmail.com. And yeah, we'd love to hear from everyone that's listening.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You can also find us on Facebook, so you can give us a like there or send us a comment or message. We're on Twitter @prepostfr, where we post news stories and new episode links and things like that. The most important thing, though, is to subscribe. Do it on iTunes or whatever podcast platform you're using to listen to this right now. Leave us a review, too, if you like the show. That would be really awesome. We're also on Stitcher and everything like that.
That's right. You can also stay in touch with us and follow us on Letterboxd, which is a great little film community that lets you log the movies you've been watching, keep like a little film diary, and leave a review. And there's links to our profiles in the show notes for that one. So join us next episode as we're going to be talking about the live action remake adaptation of Ghost in the Shell. Should be an interesting one.
Yeah, I think that'll be really interesting.
Done.
Kong, what a piece of shit. Actually, one thing. One of my favourite things, or one of the few things that actually brought me joy in that turd of a film, was when you see John C. Reilly like walk into the cabin and he has his war jacket on and it says like "For your health" on the back. Did you notice that?
Oh shit! I never noticed that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
There's like a Brule reference in there. It was I like laughed and pointed to the screen when it happened.
Oh man, I wish I'd noticed that. That's so good.
Yeah,
he's the best part of it. You know, the other good scene where they spent their one fuck, they could have the word fuck, where was he's like, you know, what, they're in the jungle and he's like, you know, you've got to watch out for the ants, they're big. There's one up there, it sounds like a bird, but that's a fucking ant. It almost feels like that was him, you know, improvising.
Same with
which is probably why it's like the best part of the movie.
The line about the good looking boys or whatever, army boys.
Feels very much like, yeah, something from him.
Yeah, he's just ad-libbing it.
What was in the script. Yeah. Good group of boys.
Yeah. All right.